Mount Calvary Baptist Church in Charleston, West Virginia welcomes you to our weekly time of worship and study of God's Word with Pastor Jesse Wagoner. So sit back, relax, and get comfortable, because when you're here, you're home.
Well, I'm looking forward to, in just a few moments, sharing with you a message from God's Word that I shared with the congregation at Mount Calvary Baptist Church in Charleston, West Virginia. And before we get to that, I thought I'd just tell you a little bit about us. My name is Jesse Wagoner, and I'm the senior pastor of Mount Calvary, and I'm your Bible teacher today. And I want to just say thank you. Thank you for giving your time to listen to the truths of God's Word and to be involved in this opportunity to learn more about Him. So thank you. Thank you. You're the reason we are here. We want to thank you very much for that. And also, if you want to get to know more about us, who we are and all that sort of thing, visit our website. It's calvarywv.com. One more time, calvarywv.com. And there you can not only find out who we are, and if you're in the area, you can come visit us, worship with us. Always welcome for that. But also, you can even get more Bible teaching resources there, both video and audio and a lot of content that we don't even present in this format. So we want to encourage you to do that and to be a part of that. So thank you very much for that. Also, a lot of times when you listen to this type of presentation, somewhere along the line, we're going to ask for a gift. Hey, if you'll send us some money, it keeps us going. Well, we're not going to do that, because this is our gift to you. All the production costs, all the broadcast costs, all that sort of thing is funded by our church, and we put this out as a gift to you. So we don't want anything in return monetarily. We always appreciate your prayers. We always would appreciate your encouragement. If you want to give us some feedback, you can do that at calvarywv.com, or you can also go to this website, this email, I should say, info@calvarywv.com. Just put an info@calvarywv.com and we'll get that. But we'd appreciate that. And also, something else you could do, you can share with others what you're receiving. Tell them about when this is on, where you're hearing it. If you see our social media content that you're going to find out there, just hit the like, hit the share it with someone else. That would be a big help to us, and we would appreciate that very, very much. You can open your Bibles, if you will, today to Matthew chapter 11. We're going to continue our study walking along with John the Baptist in a session that, or a series we've entitled Voice in the Wilderness, and he certainly was that, announcing the coming of our Lord. And certainly there's something for us to connect to in that when we are called to announce this same message, this message of the Savior, the message of Christ in a world that is very much wilderness-like. So we're going to be there. Now, from where we left off last time, until where we start in verse 1 of chapter 11 last time, there's one couple of scriptures I want to read to you, because there's one thing that happens, and I'm going to be reading. You need not turn there unless you just really want to. I want to be reading two verses from Luke chapter 3. In Luke chapter 3, we find these words in verses 19 and 20. But Herod the Tetrarch, being rebuked by him, and the him there being John the Baptist, concerning Herodias, his brother Philip's wife, and for all the evils which Herod had done, also added this, above all, that he shut John up in prison. So very shortly after the time that John baptized Jesus, when he says, I'm going to decrease, he's going to increase. I'm not worthy to go down and loose the sandals on his feet. I'm less than the least jobs around. He speaks out against this one known as Herod, Herod the Tetrarch. Tetrarch means a division of different places. He is a descendant of Herod the Great that we read of in the Christmas story. And what happened was, he, on a visit to Rome, he falls for his brother's wife and steals that wife from his own brother, and then goes back to Judea where he was assigned, and promptly divorces his own wife and makes his sister, his brother's wife, his wife. There, I got it straight. And for that, John the Baptist calling this out, and you understand he was not just to be a king in a civil sense. He was to be also a religious leader and to be some sort of an example. So he calls out the impropriety and the sinfulness of that. And Herod gets offended, and more importantly, his wife Herodias gets offended. And John is arrested and thrown in prison. He's held in the fortress of Malchus, which is east of the Dead Sea a little ways. It was one of the several fortresses that Herod the Great had made. Basically, Herod was always paranoid about having a way of escape if he got in trouble, so he built fortresses all around, so whichever direction he had to go, he had a safe place to go. And there he is. He's locked up, and I am assuming through your scriptural knowledge, you know the rest of John's story. We're not going to finish it in our study today, but you understand what that's about. So when we open our Bibles up to chapter 11 of Matthew in verse 1, we read these words. Now it came to pass when Jesus finished commanding the 12 disciples that he departed from there to teach and to preach in their city. So he's out preaching, traveling around, doing the things that he was doing, and people were taking notice. And then you see this. And when John had heard in prison about the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples and said to him, "Are you the coming one, or do we look for another?" Hard stop, slam on the brakes. If you didn't know the rest of the story, you'd be amazed by that. This is the one who says, "Hey, I'm the voice crying in the wilderness. We're making the straight paths for the one who's coming. This one who's going to baptize with fire and the Holy Spirit. This one who's, I'm not worthy to unloose his sandals. This one that he pointed out to his own disciples. Behold, that one, that person, is the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. The one that when he baptized Jesus in the Jordan, the Spirit of God comes in a visible form and comes and descends on Jesus to be a testimony to us. But primarily, if you read the text, it was a testimony to John to say, this is the one. The one that you're proclaiming, the one you're preparing the way for, the one that you're announcing, here he is. And here John says, are you the one? Or should we be looking for another? Now, it's interesting that he feels that way, but I understand that you and I do similar moments and have moments in our time. We're talking today about dealing with our doubts. And if we don't deal with our doubts, we're not going to be really ready to go out and announce authoritatively and with conviction and with confidence the truth of the gospel. If we harbor some doubts in here about the goodness of God, how can we tell someone else, trust in him. He loves you. He's a good God. How can we tell him, like it says right there, Jesus loves me, this I know, if we're having doubts about his love being intact? So we're going to talk about dealing with our doubts. And the great news is Jesus has the solution to our doubts. And it's right here in the text. And I'm excited to share it with you. In those moments when we feel less than confident or nervous, we can have the answer. First of all, let's just talk about our struggles with doubt as we see it in this text. It's all summed up in that phrase, are you the coming one? Are you that one? Are you the coming one, or do we look for another? Now, he's in prison. We understand that. I have never been to prison except to visit and to preach on occasion. But even the times I've been in prison, once I was invited to preach at a chapel service in a maximum security prison in another country. And you go, and there's just something about the doors clanking behind you, shut. And all the people we preached to that day, not one of them was ever going to get out of prison. They were all in there for a lifetime. The only way they were going to get out is when they died and were carried out. And, it was a great opportunity, and most of these men knew the Lord. You talk about some joy in their salvation in spite of prison. It was amazing. But there's just it's not a place, we can just feel it. And by the way, he was a man of the wilderness, right? Remember I said he wore this, camel hair coat, cloak, and belt, and he ate rough stuff, and he probably liked sleeping under the stars and living off the land, and now he's in a cell, probably without a window, probably without proper food, probably not a place he wanted to be. So we can relate to that. Let's just talk about a couple things that generate that, and I'm not going to spend much time on it because I want to get to the solution. I don't want to talk too much on the problem, but let's talk a little bit about the problem. Number one is the word disappointment. Disappointment. This is not what I expect. I mean, he's hearing about all the things that Jesus was doing. It's what it says in the text. And when he heard in prison about the works of Christ, he's working miracles, right? He's going to give a list of them in just a moment. But here's John sitting in prison. You know what? I could use a miracle over here. How about opening some prison doors? By the way, God has done that in Scripture, has he not? God has the ability to do it. But how about me? Where's my miracle? I'd like to be out. I'd like to be with you, Jesus. I'd like to be where you are. I'd like to hear you preach. I'd like to see these things with my own eyes, not just getting them secondhand passed to me in prison. What about me? This is not what I expected. I knew you needed to increase and I needed to decrease, but I just wanted to fade into the background, but I still wanted to be part of the action. We face disappointments in our lives, don't we? Life doesn't meet our expectations, not what we expect. This isn't going the way we thought. Fill in the blank. But But you know all about that. You know how that feels. You've experienced it. I've experienced it. So I won't spend too much time other than just to give note to it. One more I'll say this is the word delay. You know, why the delay? If I'm going to get out of prison, why shouldn't I get out now? I mean, what's going to be an advantage to spend another day, another month, another season in this prison? I want out now. And sometimes we delay. And we feel that one because we live in such an instant society, right? Want some information, you pull out your phone and you have the collected information of the world available to you to look anything up. You want some food 36 seconds in the microwave and it's piping hot and ready to eat, right? We want it now. We spend 5 minutes in a waiting room and we're impatient. You know, we just don't like being in the waiting stage. Lord, where are you? Why haven't you shown up? So we understand those things. Those are our struggles. But let's get to Jesus' answer. And I want you to look carefully at the text of Scripture you have in front of you, because it's important for us to just see it for ourselves. Verse 4, Jesus answered and said to them, here's the message you're going to take back, in other words, go tell John the things which you hear and see. Just tell him what you see. Tell him what you... There's no message. He doesn't write a note. He doesn't, you know, scroll up in the scroll. Here's the message. Take it back. He doesn't give him a verse of Scripture. He doesn't give him a psalm to read. He doesn't try to explain theologically why he's there. He doesn't try to go back in history. He doesn't go back... Well, you remember Job. Job spent some time in delay and disappointment. Let's talk about... He just says, tell him what you see and what you hear. And then he gives this list of what they see and hear. Verse 5, the blind see, and the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. That is a list, friends. And if you read the Gospels, you can read those accounts and those stories where those things actually took place. Now, it's interesting, we read those, and we just kind of skim across them quickly. But the significance of that is very deep. Now, there's one part, I'm not going to take time to do it, just because I want to get to the solution here in just a moment. But all of those things that are mentioned in that list, blind seeing, lame walking, lepers cleansed, deaf hearing, dead raised up, the poor having the gospel preached to them, all of those things were from the Old Testament that were predicted that the Messiah would do. So he's basically plugging those things back into John's understanding of Scripture. By the way, you can find all of them just in the book of Isaiah alone. You just line them right up and they're right there. He says, in other words, he's saying, let me just connect it back to this messianic prophecy. You're proclaiming that I am the Messiah. You've been sharing that broadly. Now let me just plug you back into that reality that I indeed am the Messiah. I am that one. Look at me. And he simply says there, here's what you tell John. The things which you see and hear in that list that's in front of them. So what is the solution? Here's his solution to our doubts. It's seen in that phrase, hear and see, hear and see, hear and see. Okay? So let's just talk about what we should do about that. Let's spend a little bit of time thinking about that together, all right? So I'm going to suggest it in this order. And by the way, this list, you could write the list as well as I could write the list, okay? This is not going to be new, novel, you know, but it is exciting because it's true. And the great news is it's truth that's available and accessible to all of us, all right? Number one, keep reading your Bible. You'd expect a preacher to say that, wouldn't you? But this preacher wants you to hear that, and that's so important. Keep reading your Bible. That's how we access the things we read in verse 5. We're reading through the Gospels. And, you know, people who were sightless, absolutely blind. And God, miraculously, the person of Christ restores their sight. And so that's on display. And we just need, as we read through the Word of God, that we connect with it. And we immerse ourselves in it. And I told you a moment ago how that's an amazing list. And we just sort of, sometimes we're just a little bit hesitant to actually engage in the Bible, I think. Think with me about this. And the dead are raised up. Now, think about if you were somewhere and someone who was dead suddenly comes back to life. Would that be an event that you would notice? Probably maybe faint, be shocked, one that you'd share, maybe even shake your head to say, did I really just see what I thought I saw? I mean, when you read in the Scriptures, we should have that level of amazement. God, you can raise the dead. And we believe, stand by. We believe the resurrection is not just, according to Scripture, not just for Jesus, but for all the saints of God. The day will come when all who are in the grave will hear his voice. At the last trumpet, the shout of God, and the dead will be raised incorruptible. We believe that about ourselves. And we just sort of like, oh, no, it should be hallelujah, thank you, Lord. When we read the Bible, we should just be amazed with what we see and believe it and intersect with it and involve ourselves in it. And who we involve ourselves with in that discourse is our Savior himself. Tell them what you see and hear in my ministry, Jesus says. What you see me doing. And we should be enthralled by that. We should be moved by that. Thank you for giving some time on this Sunday morning to be here to engage in the teaching of God's Word. I want to suggest to you that you keep doing that and make that a priority. I also want to give you an invitation to be back tonight at 6 p.m. We're beginning a new series from Ephesians chapter 6 about all those pieces of the armor of God you see there. And I'll just say this. I don't have a fancy video to show you. I don't have a fancy picture to put on the screen. I just want to say this. Here's a spoiler, okay? Here it is. All those pieces of armor relate to Jesus himself being in our lives. And I just think this might be for many of us, maybe all of us, one of the most significant things we could study and involve ourselves in, to find Jesus' place in our life, to find him there for us, that we get our identity from that. And we're going to kick that off tonight at 6 right here, and I'm looking forward to sharing from the Word with you about that. But also keep reading the Bible on your own. There's a young lady that I know, knew her family, knew her grandparents, knew her parents, and we've been doing some business with her, and we were talking on the phone, and she said, last year, she says, you know, Pastor, I'm trying this year to read through the entire Bible this year. And I said, oh, great, I'm glad to hear that. I commend you for that. And she says, I'm already up to Leviticus, and I'm thinking, keep going, because that's a tough spot. But she plowed on. Later, she sent me a text. She said, I'm in one of the first or second Kings. She said, I read the story. I'm just totally confused. Could you help me out? So I gave her some, you know, things to help try to straighten it out. Well, we're actually talking on the phone this month. She says, I made it all the way through. And I said, good for you. Keep going. She said, I'm going to read it again this year. And she went to Christian school, grew up in church. She's had some life since then. But she said this to me. She said, now, after reading the Bible through, I know I'm saved. She said, I knew I did something back there, and I was taught the Bible and I made a profession, but she said, now I know. Yes, it does. Faith does come by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So keep reading your Bible. You have doubts? Open this book. Have some disappointments? Open this book. Have some things that are struggling in your life? Open this book. Number two, keep observing other believers. Know what's going on in other people's lives. Know what's going on in their life. Now, last week, as we ended, I shared with you those three questions, just to kind of become the basis of our testimony. All right? If you were with us, you know what they were. Before Jesus, fill in the blank. Then Jesus, what he did for you. And since then, what's my life been like? Those three frames are just sort of the frames of life. And I shared with you, I wanted you to share that with someone before the day got out, and just have that at the ready to be able to share. Without being asked to do so, many of you publicly took that up and put it out there. I just thought I'd share some with you because I was so excited to read these. Very simple. Before Jesus, I was a mess. Then Jesus rescued me. Since then, I've been living out the purpose he's called me to do. I was a kid without hope. Then Jesus gave me hope through faith in him. Since then, I've been serving him, waiting for my faith and hope to be made sight. I was lost, living as a self-centered and selfish person. Then Jesus made me aware of his great love, assured me of salvation that he would never give up on me. Since then, he's helped me to grow spiritually and has provided me opportunities for service. Before Jesus, I was lost and rudderless. Then Jesus opened my eyes, my heart to his truth. Since then, Jesus has changed my life and continued to grow me spiritually, leading me, convicting me, and giving me hope in him. I can't read all these because there's a bunch of them, but thank you for those that shared. A sinner with no hope, a sinner forgiven with hope, I have a steady hand on my shoulder to guide my life now. Before Jesus, I was an all-around good person, most would say, but I was headed straight for the pits of hell. Then Jesus said, follow me and let me share life with you. Since then, he's made me a disciple and has grown within me a sweet spirit to serve others. I've been a follower of Jesus for 14 years this year, and my only regret is not trusting him sooner. Before Jesus, I was depressed and constantly felt I had no purpose. Then Jesus took me by the hand. Since then, I've never been alone. I am loved. I am a child of God. I could go on and on and on. But you know what? That encourages me. And the stories of what he's doing in other people's lives should encourage us. Now, he's going to do what he does with other people. He's going to do what he does with you. But find those stories to be encouraging. Get involved with other people. Share with them. Find somebody that's lonely and needs you to reach out to them, to encourage them. And just find out what he's doing. You'll be encouraged, and you'll be ready to share that with others. Thirdly, remember your own story. Remember your own story. Remember, just make sure, maybe that was a good exercise to do that, but keep remembering where you came from. And even if you grew up in the best Christian home with godly parents and you were taken to church before you could even remember going to church, and you came to Christ at an early age, and you never got into a worldly wild lifestyle, and you just say, you know, it was the perfect path. But you know what? Still a sinner, saved by grace. For a person that's went into the world and has the scars to prove it, a sinner saved by grace. I might want to add one question to those three that we were just talking about. As he calls them back, hey, look, tell them what he says to them. He says, tell them what things you hear and see. The things we hear and see, one of the things that we need to, even in our imagination, is ask, where would I be without Jesus at this point in life? How much different would life be? How much joy would you have missed? How many opportunities would have passed unfulfilled? So remember your own story, where you've come from. Now, he says, go and tell John the things which you hear and see. He gives the list. Now go down to verse 6. And blessed is he who is not offended because of me. Not offended. Be offended with Jesus? I assure you, if you read the Gospels, there were people who were offended with Jesus. All right? And there's going to be people that probably maybe are offended with us at times. We'll talk about that a little bit later. But even to the place of offense. Lord, you didn't show up. You didn't do. You somewhere were absent. Where are you? That's what John's feeling. But he comes to this reality that he had a story that God was writing across the pages. And what a gift John the Baptist is to our understanding and the assurance that Christ is who he is and set the stage. And how many people were ready for the Messiah because John was out there in the wilderness saying, prepare the way of the Lord. I'm that voice crying in the wilderness. So remember our own story and where we've come from. And that should be a story that pushes us to share in this wilderness world in which we live. Keep watching for his hand. Keep watching for his hand. Now, I'm going to reveal my age. When I was a kid, we would have, at Easter time, we'd have an Easter egg hunt, and we didn't have plastic eggs. We had real eggs we collared and hid around things. Some of you don't know what that's like. And it probably wasn't, I don't know, maybe it wasn't even sanitary or wise. I don't know, but that's what we did. But I remember as a kid, you remember as a kid, just something as simple as that desire to discover something, find something, uncover something. And in our case, to find more than my two brothers would find when we were out here hunting eggs. Well, I don't want to send you on an egg hunt, but I'd encourage you to go on a God hunt and do it every day. Searching for that moment where you see his hand at work. It might be just something beautiful you see. It might be some interaction. It might be some blessing that you didn't expect. I was thinking of this morning, and it was just an amazing thing that, well, I'll just tell you the story, okay? Right before the first service, I was thinking about potholes. I ran into somebody before the first service, and they were talking about getting here, and we just talked about how many potholes. And I said, it's amazing how the potholes are just, after a freeze-thaw, suddenly there's potholes everywhere. And this person just says to me, In heaven, streets of gold. Thank you. I needed that. I needed that. This person was looking through eyes of faith. This person was looking to find something about God. This person was not complaining. This person was praising. And that's what we can do when we go on a God hunt. We can just say, Lord, show me. And then take that thing and turn it back to praise. So I thank you, Lord. I thank you for the streets of gold. And more importantly, that we get to walk together with you on those streets of gold. That our sins are forgiven. All the offense is gone. All the disappointment is ended. All the delay is no more. That we get to see with the throngs of people, the redeemed gathered around the throne, the throngs of people that God has changed and brought into his family. So today, you go on that hunt, if you haven't found it, and find that blessing, that moment, and make that your daily pursuit. Find something to praise God for and deliver it to him in praise. Lastly, keep sharing his truth. Keep sharing his truth. Again, verse 6. And blessed is he who is not offended because of me. Now, he understood, and I find a lot of sympathy. By the way, on the day that John said the worst thing he ever said about Jesus, are you the one or we look for another? Starting in verse number 7, Jesus says the greatest thing he could ever say about John. So even in that offense, there's grace. We're going to talk about that next session, Lord willing, next week. So stand by for that. But offended by me. He was offended by what Jesus had done or not done. Sometimes we can get offended. Sometimes people get offended with us. You know, we're in this place. We talk about Jesus. We talk about streets of gold. We praise the Lord for the good things. And we enjoy it. We're encouraged by it. You get out there in that wilderness. Someone's going to be offended by what you believe. John offended people. Jesus offended people. And we don't do anything to try to be offensive. Maybe sometimes we are. But if the truth offends, so be it. Keep sharing the truth. Keep sharing the truth. If you're here this morning and you never embraced the truth that there's one Savior and Jesus is the Savior, that's what we would encourage you to understand. That's what I want to share with you right now in real time. That you are a sinner that needs to be saved by his grace. And indeed, he does love us. He loved you enough to send his son to be your Savior. And he will save you if you put your faith in him. If we could help you understand that, have a conversation with you, or you could even do that, take that step of faith right in the privacy of your own heart. Say, Lord, I know I need a Savior, and I believe Jesus is that one. And friends, as we go from this place, we have opportunity after opportunity after opportunity after opportunity to share. And God calls us to do that. Keep sharing your story. Keep sharing the truth. Let's see what God will do. Would you join me in prayer? Heavenly Father, we thank you for this account in the life of John and the life of Jesus. Thank you for the way that the tender way that Jesus responds to John. Father, you want us to see and hear what you're doing. Lord, to be able to see, we need to be looking. To be hearing, we need to be listening. Help us to remember our own story of what you brought us through. Help us just to understand that you've done great things in us. Help us not to be offended. Help us keep sharing that truth broadly and widely. Help us to go every day looking for your hand at work in our lives and encourage us thereby. May those activities, as we relate with you, may they dispel our doubts. May they overpower our disappointments. May they pull us back from our offenses so that we can share you confidently to a world that desperately needs and only needs the Lord Jesus Christ to be their Savior.
Thank you for joining us for this time of worship and study brought to you by Mount Calvary Baptist Church in Charleston, West Virginia. If you are in the Charleston area, we would love for you to worship with us in person. For service times and more information, visit our website, calvarywv.com. Until next time, may His blessing be yours.